So the readings today challenge us to evaluate our attachment to things of this world. In the gospel, we are reminded to avoid greed and avarice. In the first reading, we are taught to be realistic about the limitations of this life and the passing nature of things. And St. Paul tells us to realize that your life is hidden now with Christ in God. These readings bring home to us a point that every Christian must continually renew and nourish in his soul. The awareness that we are pilgrims in this world and just passing through on our way to true life, which is eternal union with God in heaven. Keeping this perspective throughout our lives enables us to grasp the true value of created things and use them to help us reach our ultimate goal. In this sense, by keeping fresh in our minds and hearts the principle and foundation of our spiritual life, will enable us to avoid the danger of over-attachment to what is not God or substituting creatures in the place that rightfully belongs to God. The message from Ecclesiastes challenges us with the view of life on earth as essentially vain and purposeless. Since it seems no matter how wise or virtuous a person may be, there is no lasting profit to them. It reminds us that life is filled with anxiety and loss, and we should not put all our hopes in it. The book of Ecclesiastes begins and ends with the same words, vanity of vanities. The phrase sums up wonderfully well the central idea of the book and is the sacred author's assessment of the things of the world and the fruits of human endeavor, included among the latter being the acquisition of a superficial type of knowledge of wisdom, especially spiritual wisdom, whose only purpose is to show how spiritual we are. The Hebrew root of the word translated as vanity means something like the vapor or air, and conveys the idea of something with no consistency to it, like an illusion, a sort of unreality. Some scholars link it to another root that means fleeting or evanescent, in the sense that something that man cannot grasp. And that is certainly an aspect of what the author is saying throughout the book. We need to put our faith in the eternal, in the things that will last, not a vapor in the wind. This useful reminder is complemented by the New Testament vision of eternal life, which is not explicit in the book of Ecclesiastes. St. Paul motivates the Colossians with the hopeful vision of life of a new man in Christ, reborn in him and given new life, which begins now on earth and is brought to completion in heaven. The earthly, immoral passions have no place in this new man in the image of Christ and must be put aside so that Christ may live fully in us. Furthermore, all people without distinction of race or creed are called to share in this new life he preaches. He offers the hopeful vision of a new kind of life Christians should be living. They should live as if they already have one foot in heaven, even as they are living now on earth. The Gospel of Luke has Jesus warning severely against the sort of desires that keep us chained to this limited and passing world. Greed, avarice, selfishness, love of pleasure and comfort, and the lack of virtues that should link us to our ultimate destiny, which is heaven. We ignore God and ignore the needs of our neighbor in our self-obsession. So today's readings really do challenge us to do some serious reflection on where our treasure lies. To what extent do we live preoccupied with daily worries about material things, when in truth, we have all we really need? Some people put so much security in material things like the fool of the Gospel of Luke, yet it is in vain, since we can never have total control of the material. We fail to recognize that our lives truly belong to God. And such worries in us should make us concerned if there is real faith and hope in God in us. Or do we just have faith in ourselves? Where is the place for God in our lives when we are focused in this way? It seems God is sidelined. The gospel also indicts the fool for having no trust in God and also for having no concern to share his goods with the less fortunate. Are we giving of our abundance? Do we give to the point of sacrifice? Do we spend time with God, or is all our time spent on our own pleasure and comfort? Are our lives God-centered or centered on self? Often we think we are good people because we don't deliberately do anything to hurt others. And while that is good, is it enough for one who has been redeemed by Christ and given new life in him? Can we say that God is the center of our lives? If we cannot, what actions can we take today and in the next days to change that? Or is vanity getting in our way? If God is eternal, if he will be there throughout our lives and eternity, not the temporary pleasure of new car or that security of a great job, doesn't it make sense to cultivate that relationship above all others and live according to his laws? I know from personal experience I have turned away from God and his ways. I have made money my God. I have built bigger bonds instead of helping others with my surplus. And this has led to nothing but fear. I'm sure I'm not alone in my foolish ways. It is only when I put God first, spend time with him in prayer, and do my best to seek his will that I find peace. So just for today, let us do what St. Paul suggests. Put to death, then, the parts of us that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, that is idolatry. Let us take off the old self with all its selfish practices and put on a new self, which is reborn in Christ. Let's ask God for forgiveness for all we have done when we disobey his will. Let's come to the table and eat and drink. Let's feel the presence of our Lord today, who sustains us through our life. For it is there our true treasure lies, in the treasure of the Eucharist. And it is then we will be rich in the things that matter to God. Amen.
Amen.